Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. How are you today? Are you okay? All right, good, good. A couple of awesome people over there. Any awesome people over here? Couple awesome people over there. Good, good. We're going to start a new series. It's called Thank You. And it's just called Thank You because it's just after Thanksgiving. But it's actually going to be 3 weeks. We're going to talk about worship. We're going to talk about what that's all about. So we decided to start with the whole thank you thing. I actually wanted to call it the lick of a dog. But we do have a media team and they didn't think that was good. Or I just wanted to call it the kiss. Because that's really what it's all about, you know. So we're going to talk about worship today, kind of set an introduction. Next week, we're going to go deep sea diving. I mean, we're going to go into some truth, going to dig out some things. So we're going to get into some theology of the stuff. We're going to go way below the surface, and you're going to love it. You're going to get stuff you're going to be blessed with. And then the last week, we're going to talk about the practice. We're actually going to talk about the fact that we do not believe in contemporary worship here. We believe in traditional worship. Contemporary worship is where the band plays some songs and everybody watches. Traditional worship is where everybody's screaming, shouting, running, waving stuff, throwing stuff, screaming stuff, hands up, feet up. Because we want traditional worship here. Traditional is not a pipe organ and a choir. Tradition is people frothing at the mouth, going wild, saying, "Yay, God!" So there you go. There's a little outline for the next 3 weeks, and we're going to have fun. I'm so excited about next week. I'm telling you, next week, some things are going to drop in your spirit that will literally go, "I get it," and it's going to knock you into manifestation the next week in a new and a fresh way. Amen. All right, well, let's talk about worship. Now, I want to show you a couple pictures. Look at this person right here. Who's that? Who's that? You know who that is? My mother? No, it's not my mother. Thanks very much. Appreciate that. Pray for her eyes. All right, good. That's Wayne Gretzky. It was Wayne Gretzky when he was a little guy. That's Wayne. And I remember I used to work at the Memorial Center in Peterborough where the junior A hockey played. And he was like 15 years old, played for the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds. But every time he got on the ice, although he's playing with, you know, 18, 19, 20-year-old guys, this 15-year-old, when he got on the ice, it was electric. It was just like, you just thought anything could happen with this kid on the ice. He was so amazing. And he was always playing way above his head. Even in Little League, he'd be playing with, you know, three divisions higher because he was so stinking good. Say stinking. He was so good. I mean, he was so good that it was just not fair to have him play in his age group because he just so dominated the game. He was a prodigy. He was somebody who was just, man, he was born with mad, mad hockey skills. All right, let me show you another guy, right? There. Now, that's actually the Halloween costume that Malachi is going to wear on, no? I thought it looked like Malachi a little bit. Malachi is George Washington or something. Did you think that? No? No? Not so much? Okay, never mind. All right. You know who that is? That's actually Mozart. That's Mozart. How many got that one right? How many? I see that. Wow, we got some people. That is Mozart when he was a young boy. He got the piano in front and all those things. But Mozart, by the time he was 5, he was composing music. I mean, he could play all instruments. He was a master at the violin. He was just a brilliant, brilliant young child. By the time he was 8, he had done a full orchestra. He had written a full orchestra by the time he was 8 years old. Now, this is what we would call young people who are like that. I mean, we could talk about so many more people that we know. Young people who are like this, they're called prodigies. Now, here's what a prodigy is. You ready? Prodigy is a person, especially a child or a young person, having extraordinary talent or ability, especially in one field or another field. Matthew 21:16, it says, "Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise." Where am I going? Amplified. "Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babes, you have prepared and provided praise for yourself." Turn and just point at your neighbor and say, "You're a prodigy." Turn to your second choice and say, "Believe it or not, you too." You really are. And you know what you were a prodigy at? You were designed by God himself. You were born with the capacity to be a ridiculous worshiper. You were born, you were created to worship. God has written in your DNA that you are a ridiculous praiser. You are a God kind of worshiper. You are somebody who has mad skills to worship. It really is true. It really is. It really is. So let's look at this. Worship, now worship, worship is not a Christian thing. It's a human thing. Worship is not a Christian thing. It's a human thing. Because every single human being was born with the capacity to worship. And every single human being right now today is worshiping. One way or another, you're serving something, you're giving your everything, you're pouring out your life somewhere, something either for a person or for something you have lost yourself in. Everybody is worshiping something. Everybody is pouring themselves out somewhere for something. Because you were all created to be prodigies, to worship. You were designed for it, and you are world class. Every one of you are a world-class worshiper. The question is today, what do you worship? The question isn't, are you a worshiper? Do you have capacity to worship? Is the passion to worship and praise in you? It's all there. The question is, what do you worship? So I could find out what you worship if you gave me your checkbook or if you let me look at your bank statement. If you let me do that, I could quickly find out what you worship, because if you follow your time and you follow your treasure, you'll find out what you worship. It's where you spend your time, where you worship. We had a fellow down the street from us, and his daughter, my son Dylan, just a great little guy, but he never liked people. As a baby, he just, if you tried to pick him up, he would stick his feet and hands, and he would just constantly push to let me down. He would rather be on the floor by himself than held by somebody. It was just like bizarre. So when we went to church, he would never go to anybody. So Cheryl would be involved in Sunday school. I'd be involved preaching. And Dylan didn't want to be with anybody. And we couldn't leave him with a babysitter. He just didn't want to be with anybody. So we finally found this girl down the street that Dylan liked. And I was like, my God, we found this girl. So we actually hired her to go to church with us every Sunday. Now, I think the church at the time thought, isn't it wonderful? Look at the young pastor. He's bringing neighbors to church. We were paying her to come. And we had to pay her to be there because we couldn't get anybody that Dylan would go to. But he said, this is good. I can hook up with this person. I'm fine. So that was about all that would go on with Dylan, you know? So, but this girl, she was awesome. She was a great kid. She lived with her mom and dad down the street. One day she came running down the street, pounding on our door. And she said, you know, Cheryl was there. She said, you got to come right now, Cheryl. You got to come. She said, what's going on? She says, my mom, she's collapsed on the floor. I don't know what's going on. Well, Cheryl ran down the street. The ambulance came. She had a massive aneurysm. Cheryl prayed for her, and she actually came out of it without any serious consequences. So it was really pretty cool. I'll tell you, brain aneurysms, that's usually boom. But you know, she came out of the whole thing. It was pretty amazing. But the interesting thing was, there's often we'd drive by the bus stop and there would be, you know, the girls and moms standing by the bus going here, going there. And we moved in, you know, September, October kind of a thing. And we're actually in April, May, we moved in, right? And so I thought they just, you know, didn't have any vehicle and that was too bad. But then later in the summer, I went by the house and all of a sudden this red Corvette sitting in the driveway. And I went, whoa, nice car. Did you just get that? He's like, no, I've had this for a long time. It's my baby. And I went, wow. And he would pull it out, polish it up, clean it all up, and push it back in the driveway, put a tarp over it. And then I'd see the wife and the kids at the bus stop. I don't know about you, but if my wife had a husband like that, you can take care of that car in the garage, make me stand at the bus stop. Good luck, Charlie, I tell you. Boom, bang, pow. It'd be all over. You know my wife. This because she loves me. But, you know, I was going, wow, that's pretty amazing. But God bless them. But you know what? There was a lot of worshiping going on in that garage. There was a lot of worshiping going on in the driveway. But there was a lot of neglect in a lot of other areas of life because he had a priority with that car. And you know, you could have priorities. You could have things that have entered into your heart and taken up room that have pushed out things that really should be a whole lot more important. So really today, if I spent some time, followed you, and I said, write down everything you did this week and looked at all your time, oh, I can't do midweek cell group, I'm so busy. If we actually took a look at all that time and all those things, you're busy with what exactly? Sorry, I know that was almost like real. Like that was like stuff we, anyways, give me another slide. All right, Matthew 4:10. Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan." Okay, just I had to do that because it's got an exclamation mark on it, right? "Away with you, Satan. Away with you, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And I tell you, the enemy isn't really looking for you to worship him. The enemy is looking for you to pay attention to anything else except God. The enemy is looking for you to fill up your time with anything else except God and putting him first, because the enemy knows if he can get your attention off him, your life's going to end up easily messed up. But we know that when you put God first, you're incredibly blessed. You're walking in favor. It's like, woo! I mean, so simple. Just put God first. Ah, such a drag having to put God first. It's not a drag. When you put God first, you walk in a flow of ease and blessing and glory. You walk in a life that's just full of wonderful blessings. So you become a servant to whatever you worship. Worship him, serve him only. Whatever you worship, you end up serving. So you are serving right now whatever it is you worship. All right, the worship. The word worship in the Greek, it's the word proskuneo. Proskuneo. Now the word proskuneo, the Holy Spirit, these guys were inspired to use this word. It's a Greek word. It's a Greek word that they brought together, and they took the word kuneo, which means a dog licking his master, and pros, which means towards. So it literally means like a dog licking towards. That's why I said we could call the sermon the dog lick or the kiss. I think it's so interesting. Why it's not the kiss of affection, the kiss of a man or a woman. It literally is the kiss. It literally is most translated like a dog kissing and licking his master. Now, how many know that's pretty awesome? We came home last night and our dog, thank you, Dylan, our dog, we had him in doggy daycare for a couple days because we had to be in Toronto at some meetings. And we came home, we were phoning. Oh, we got finished a little bit early and we were racing back. And I said, you should phone and see if we can pick up Bo. You know, because we're earlier than we thought, because we thought we'd have him in until this afternoon because we weren't going to get home in time. But our meeting's finished up earlier than expected. So we're racing back. He said, call again. Cheryl said, nobody's answering. I went, call again. Here's me saying, call again. You know why? Because I love it when I get home, I walk in the door, 110 pounds of Rottweiler comes running at me full on. It's a little scary at first because he never stops properly. And then, bam, he slams me. But then it's... But there's nothing like it. It's so awesome. Even if I go downstairs, because Cheryl won't watch hockey with me, if I go downstairs and I'm in the basement and he thinks I've been gone for a few hours, I just come upstairs and he just comes, wow, it is so great. No dog lovers here? See, worship is like the kiss of a dog, not of a cat. Because cats are just wrong. Anyways, how many times does your cat come and greet you? Not likely. Anyways, all right. Unless you cast out the spirit of cat and put a dog in him. But anyway, we'll do that next week. I wanted to know who loved me more, Beauregard or Cheryl. I wanted to know. So I took them outside and locked them in the trunk of the car. And who do you think was glad to see me when I opened the car up? Like, I opened the thing, dog jumped out, licked me. I mean, he doesn't care. You lock me in the trunk, no worries. It's all good. I'm just happy to see you. Cheryl, not so much. No, it's not so much. You do that again. I didn't do that. I'm just kidding. I'm just trying to illustrate that God is literally, it says God's looking for that kind of worshipers. It literally used that type of language. It uses that description to describe the kind of thing God's looking for. God loves it when you run into the throne room and say, Papa, Daddy, He loves it when there's absolute unconditional abandonment that I just love being with you no matter what. Anybody getting a picture or anything? I'm trying to help you out here, right? So worship. The English dictionary says to be devoted to and full of admiration for, to have and to express feelings of profound adoration. Profound. Were you worshiping today or were you going to... I was watching, I saw it. Worship. Let me give you a little definition we'll use. A worship, a response to what we value most. a response to what you value most. We worship stuff. We worship things. But, you know, God wants us to worship him, all right? So I want to show you a picture because last week I talked about a tailgate party and a lot of you didn't know what a tailgate party was. That's a tailgate party. All right, so and this is just one row, one picture of one row. What it is, you see all the hatches open? Everybody pulls out their barbecues. And what they're doing is there's a football game going to start at 4. But we show up sometimes like the day before or early that morning. And we're there way before the game begins. And we pull out all kinds of food. And we're high-fiving all our friends. Going, woo, looking forward to the game. Woo, yeah, baby. And you're out there just eating and drinking and having some wild, crazy fellowship. The game has started yet, but we're already full on worship. Woo! Now I'm looking forward to the day when I pull in the parking lot at 10:30 before service and you guys aren't walking in late. I mean, you were here at 7 o'clock cooking steak and eggs going, woo! Hey, yeah! Hey, can I borrow some HP sauce over there? Yeah, baby! Woo! We're gonna kick it today! We're gonna worship God today! We're gonna be Impact Church! Impact Church! Impact Church! Woo! Well, let's even just come maybe early for a coffee in the cafe and just shake hands and say, excited to see you. But I mean, this is worship. This is full-on crazy stuff right here. These are, I know when the Toronto airport started to go big, literally people showed up early. People would drive down there. The doors aren't even, they wouldn't open the doors early because so many people rushed in. You'd almost stampede over people trying to get in. Because people wanted, they said, I don't know why, I don't know what, I don't know, I just know that for whatever reason, God is visiting this place right now, and I want to be there, and I don't want to be outside, I don't want to be in the back row, I want to be right up front, I want to be as close as I can, I want to drink and take all I can get. This is the best show in town. I mean, there's other churches, they got the show too, and that's all good, I'm saying it's the best. The body of Christ, the church, when we come to gather to fellowship, he spreads a table, he mixes a drink, he's pouring out blessing. This is the best party in town. Okay, so let me show you one more here. That's awesome, isn't it? That was me before I got saved. No, sorry. Did I get you there? It was, wow, guffaw, guffaw. Okay, this guy's name is Glenn Timmerman. If you've been around, I've shown Glenn before, but those are signatures of Chicago Bears players. So he gets Chicago Bears players to write with a Sharpie on his skin, and then he goes right to the tattoo shop and has their signatures tattooed right into his skin. He from head to toe, I mean, all the way down, he's got massive tattoos on his legs. He is tattooed head to toe with Chicago Bear paraphernalia. But it's his goal every year, any new players or anything, he gets them to autograph his skin and he gets the names of the Bears tattooed on his skin. How many think he's a pretty big fan? I'm going to get Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, just, you know, all the Gospels tattooed. I mean, this guy's like, he's a fanatic. He's like totally into it. I mean, he's really, really into this. I got a little video clip I want to show you, a little video clip of some worship that went on this week. Can we pull that one up? Can you do that for me? Give it up for our media team. They're the very best, aren't they? They're just awesome.
So long, and it's gonna burn you. No doubt about it.
How many of you watched that? You saw that? How many jumped off your chair and went, whoa! Yes! Whoa! I was watching that. I was in my car driving up to Uxbridge at the time. I'm listening on the ESPN radio, and I almost pulled off the road. In fact, I did miss one of my turns. I went right through, and I'm like, oh, I missed my turn. But I was like, wow! I mean, I was worshiping while I was driving. I was so excited. But I want you to know, I was on a mission for God. And I left the TV set, and I on purpose was doing what God called me to do. I was not given over to the lust of the flesh to watch a baseball game. I was disappointed about that, but that was some pretty crazy worship right there, folks. I mean, did you hear that place? It went nuts. I was there back when they beat the Yankees a few weeks ago. I was there. They lost. They told me not to come back. But the place was going crazy. You know, folks, that's actually adoration. It's worship. It's like, I like this. It's a lot of fun. I reckon that when we are excited about the King of Kings, it should be just a little bit better. Don't say that, because next week you're going to be your frumpy self again. Amen, Pastor. I totally agree. I'm not ever going to change my frumpy self, but I totally agree with you. Hallelujah. In principle, I think you're right. In practice, I'm not so sure. See, the third week, we're going to get into traditional worship, and it's messy. Just say you first, Pastor. Okay, thank you. All right. Okay. Let's move from Mr. Timmerman. I've had enough of his back. Okay, good. Acts 17, 22 and 23. Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering your objects of worship. I mean, he's passing through town and he's just visiting Athens, coming with the gospel and the good news. And he's looking around and these guys are really big time worshipers. I mean, they got all these objects of worship. He says, they even found one to the unknown God. Folks, everybody, every culture, way from the beginning of time, everybody is wired to worship. Everybody worships and they're all worshiping something. I just want to know, what is your primary object of worship? Because it should be, and you should always have God as your very first and prominent thought. Thanking him every day, giving your life to him every day, serving him every day should be your primary operation. Thus says your pastor. Amen. Thank you for that. Romans 1, 21 and 23. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God. That's interesting. Yes, they knew God. Yes, they knew God. You know that place where Jesus said, I'll say, you know, depart from me, I never knew you. It's not, do you know God? It's, does he know you? And the knowing you comes into that place where there's an intimate relationship with God, where you choose to interact with him more than just, yeah, I know God, but you worship him, you engage him, you've put him first in your life. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. That's why the sermon series is called Thank You. Give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. And then instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols. Amen. Now you say, I don't have any idols. That was a crazy culture back then. I don't have any idols in my home, nothing at all. Well, my neighbor had a Corvette in his garage. It was an idol. I've seen people turn their family into idols, or their marriage into an idol, or their children into idols. Or there's all manner of things. You know, you need to raise your kids. You need to love your wife. But honestly, there should be nothing. You know what the best thing a husband can do for his wife? Love God. You know, because you love God, you put him first, he'll make sure you love your wife really good. You know, there's a lot of worship going on, a lot of weird stuff going on, and I really want this to be a house of worship, reckless worship, where the presence of God is powerful and is found. They worshiped, they were idolatrous, they worshiped, and they did other stuff. Can I get an amen? John chapter 4, 23 and 24. But the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking. I mean, the Father is looking for something. What's he looking for? The Father is seeking worshipers. He's looking for such. He's looking for people who in spirit and truth are going to worship him. He's looking. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. What does that mean, worship him in spirit? It means that God is spirit. Therefore, if you're going to relate to him, you got to be born again. You got to have your spirit born again so your spirit and his spirit can interact. So that you can be born of the Spirit of God, so that you now in that born again spirit can be reconnected with God. You are a spirit. He is a spirit. You need that spirit to be reborn, reconnected, so that you can worship him. He's looking for worshipers, and in truth, not in a way that you manufacture it, not in a style of worship that you decide, not in a way that I prefer, I worship God like this. Well, God doesn't want you to worship like this. He wants you to worship like he has directed you. He wants you to worship according to the word, according to revelation, according to that spirit of God and the truth of God in sincerity and in honesty. He wants you to worship him. And God is looking for worshipers. Can I get an amen? Just a little one. Thank you. Throw me a bone. It's good. My hockey team's not doing very well. So God wants you to be at the top. He wants himself to be at the top of the list in everything all the time. Everything all the time. And you know, does God want that because he's really insecure? Does God want that because I created you to just scream at me all day because I'm really insecure and I need you to stroke me every day? He doesn't need that. You need that. It's not that he needs that. He knows that you are designed to work absolutely the best when he's first in your life and when you honor him. That's what opens the heavens and causes a flow of his grace and blessing. When you realize that this connection is everything to me and all areas of my life will be blessed if I maintain this connection in spirit and in truth. Amen. I got a hand raised back there. That was awesome. All right, so seek first. That's why I read that scripture. Seek first. Put it first. Make it your sole priority. God is number one. He is number one. Make that a priority. Seek him and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So he wants to be top of your list. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 and 9, it says, "These people draw near me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." It says, "In vain they worship me. In vain they worship me." Now, God doesn't want lip service. God doesn't want, you know, it's not that God, I don't feel like it, but pastor wants us to do it. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah, woo! Glory to God, whoa, whoa, whoa! If your heart's not in that, it's just a bunch of noise. If you are not absolutely, totally overwhelmed with how much he loves you and smitten by the relationship and what he has done to bring it into manifestation, he really doesn't give a rip. But you know, you got to worship him with knowledge and with understanding, and it's got to be from your heart, because God is, just like we sang that song, he's after your heart. Turn to your neighbor, say, he's after your heart. He wants you. He wants everything in you. He wants the seed of who you are. He wants the whole source of everything that's in you. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore," and therefore, what is that therefore? Does anybody know what a therefore is? You got to know. Whenever you see a therefore, you need to say, what's that therefore? All right? Because therefore means, in light of those 11 chapters I just wrote, which are all about your position in Christ, your redemption, your justification, your sanctification, your glorification, all the wonderful things that he has done for you. He's established you in him. You can never, ever step out of his love. He's wrapped you and surrounded you. You can never escape his goodness, his glory. There's no condemnation in Christ. He loves you, loves you, loves you. In light of all of that, therefore, I urge you, I beseech you. Can you feel that? I'm urging you, I'm beseeching you, in light of how wonderful and how good God is, he said, in view of God's mercy. So offer your body a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to God. This is true and proper worship. What is true and proper worship? It's shouting and singing like a mad person, waving a flag, running through the building for hours. Woo! That's maybe a form or expression of worship, but true worship is your whole life. Every moment you live and you breathe, you have surrendered to him. He is the one who you honor with everything you do. That's worship. And you see, this worship can only be done, through the lens or in view of mercy. In light of the revelation, you know, you'll never be a good worshiper if you don't understand how gracious God's been to you. The quality of your worship really is determined by the size of your revelation of how great he's been to you. You know, when you got a real massive revelation of his mercy and how gracious he's been and what he's done for you and how unfailing his love is for you, I tell you, you will be here tailgating, waiting for a service. Because I don't like just doing this by myself. I like doing it with lots of other people because doing it by myself is cool. But when we're all here, woo, I love that. And he loves it too. But you know, if you don't have a revelation of his mercy, it's just, better go to church today. Oh, snow on the windshield. Where's that stupid scraper? I put that somewhere. Oh, you know what? Oh, not today. I'm going to go back to bed. This is just... Bob and Kay, 4 inches of snow. How deep is your love? How deep is... I do sometimes get concerned because I think that, you know, this culture, we get busy. We get preoccupied with a lot of stuff. You know, sometimes, church every week, in a small group, and he wants me to give money, and he wants me to share Jesus with people. It's getting a bit tiring. Can't we find a church with a 4% tithe and, you know, only 2 services a month? I mean, my goodness. Are you here? And if you're watching online because you wouldn't scrape your windows and come, that's not why we have this service, so that you can sit at home. We have it for the people in Taiwan. In Hong Kong, in India, but you live 4 blocks away. And I love you still. By the way, hi, Mom. I know you're not well. God bless you. It's no condemnation that those are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, so. Go to another scripture with me. You're going to finish up right here. Go to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Now, scholars and theologians, they tell us, church history tells us that this was Mary Magdalene who did this. Mary Magdalene was a prostitute and had 7 demons cast out of her. And you know, she was the first one to see the risen Christ. I don't think that was a mistake. I think what was a mistake was that she's the first one to see the risen Christ. But when she went and told the apostles, I've seen the risen Christ, they went, whatever. The demon-possessed prostitute saw Jesus first, whatever. They didn't believe her. But you know what? This is a story about her. It says, then one of the Pharisees asked him to come and eat with them. It wasn't a friendly invite. It wasn't, you know, come over to my place and have dinner. He literally wanted to get a chance to question Jesus and expose him. And he assumed Jesus would get offended and even not respect the whole process. But he went into the Pharisee's house and he sat down to eat. And behold, a woman. Look, a woman who was in the city, who was a sinner, who was a prostitute. When she knew she'd been touched by his ministry, she was grateful. When she knew that Jesus sat at the table of a Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask full of fragrant oil, and she stood. Wow. I mean, she may have come just to bring a gift, but might have got broken down and overwhelmed. I don't know, but there she came. And maybe she really just came to say, I'm so grateful for the freedom I now experience, and I want to give this to you. And maybe at that point she was there. You know, she could have been killed for being there. The very fact that she came into a Pharisee's home like that without invitation and standing there, it was against the law. He could have killed her for coming into his home. But she didn't give a rip because she was overwhelmed because of the mercy that had been exposed to her. And when you got a revelation of the mercy and love of God, it'll make you do some strange things. It'll make you be grateful and show some gratitude. Well, she ran in and she wanted to be there and she wanted to be with Jesus. But she didn't just give him the whole thing. She broke down. She got overwhelmed. And there she was at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears. This is pretty intimate stuff. I don't know the last time you had a woman bow at your feet and wash your feet with her tears. This is pretty crazy. Now, this Pharisee's probably flipping out, going, what's going on? Where'd she come from? Who let her in? So she breaks down at his feet. Then she lets her hair down. And she's there at his feet, and she pulls out her bobby pins and whatever it is. I don't know if they had bobby pins back then. Maybe they had Jacob pins. I don't know. But she lets her hair down, and she's weeping, and she's crying at his feet, and she's wiping his feet with his tears. And Jesus didn't say, "Stop it!" Stood there, wiped them with her hair, and she kissed his feet. Ooh. I mean, I've seen some feet. Have you? I did not marry Cheryl for her feet. Just saying. Okay, just never mind. All right, how many got a lot of weird images there? You sit down, stop it. All right, okay, never mind. Let's move on. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the... Hello. I thought the Lord turned me off there. She anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisees who invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, the Pharisee said, this man, if he were really a prophet, he'd know what manner of woman this is who's touching him. She is a sinner. So this guy's looking at this spectacle and he's going, this guy's supposed to be a prophet. I mean, if he's who he says he is, why is he letting a sinner, this kind of a woman, pull this obscenity at his feet? I mean, this is ridiculous. This is over the top. And yet Jesus is not moved in any way except welcoming and receiving what she's doing. Now the Pharisee said, what is going on here? Verse 40, and Jesus turned to him, and it's funny, he just thought it, but Jesus answered him verbally. Jesus answered him and said, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he said, teacher, say it. He said, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors, one of 500 denarii, another of 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. And he said, tell me therefore, which of them will love more? And a denarii is a day's wages. All right, so which of them will love him more? And Simon answered and said, I suppose the one who he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Now, Jesus said you have rightly judged. You know what I think the difficulty is with just some people, just a few people, not you folks at all, but some people think that, you know, they did God a favor by joining the team. That I'm not really that bad. In fact, I'm pretty awesome. I know it says that there are not many of you wise. You're all basically, you know, no good and good for nothing. But God takes the, you know, the despised things of the world to confound the wise. You know, I didn't like that verse because I thought I was pretty awesome. I thought God lucked out pretty good when I decided to join the team. You know, but I went through some real nasty stuff, and I don't think people need to go through nasty stuff. But no matter where you are, where you think you are in the scale of good and evil, when it comes to the scale of God, every one of us falls a gazillion times short. And every single one of us need his grace and his mercy. And you know, if you don't know that, if you don't know how incredibly fortunate you are that he reached down to redeem you and scoop you up and save you, that's why your worship will stink. Your attendance will stink. Your giving will stink. Because you don't realize how incredibly fortunate you are. And you know, we don't manifest that we're fortunate. You know, we grumble about church. I got to go to church tonight. You're talking to your friend Fred at work. What are you doing tonight? Ah, they got meetings at church. I got to go. You know what Fred hears? I hate church. I don't want to go to church. They say, hey, Fred, you want to come? Are you kidding? You hate it too. You complain every time you go. You complain about this, complain about that. You got no passion in your life at all. You want to invite me to join the club? Wow. Pastor, chill out. Dude, I mean, really? Really? My wife's looking at me kind of funny. She's hitting her hand. Okay. Jesus, he said, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and he said to Simon. It's interesting. He turned to the woman and he said to Simon, you see this woman? He said, I entered your house. You gave me no water. It was common decency that you didn't have to do it, but you would even have a servant who would come and wash every person's feet who came into your home. But this guy so despised Jesus, we came in and the servant went to go wash feet. No, 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 don't wash his feet, whatever. Come on in, prophet of God. You had no water for my feet. Yet she hasn't stopped crying since she walked in, and she has washed my feet with her tears. Okay, settle down. You had no water for my feet, but she's washed my feet with her tears. You gave me no kiss. Now, a kiss, that's not out of normal. It's not out of standard. If you go to Wayne Zimmer's house, you're going to get a hug and a kiss. If you don't get one, that would be very strange. Because he's a hugger and a kisser. See, it's a very normal thing in their culture that when you were greeted in the home, nice to see you. Mwah, mwah. See, when I go to Montreal, it's both sides. And I get confused. And I've been known to headbutt a few people because when they go for the other side, I'm like, oh, sorry. I thought it was just a one-side kiss and I'm pulling out and they're going for the other. And bam! So every time they come to me, it's like, a kiss and a headbutt. But you know, if you ever go to Montreal, you see people, wearing, things that's, I was there preaching. Okay, so a couple of neck braces, headbutted by the preacher, huh? Hallelujah. No kiss, a personal greeting, but this woman hasn't stopped kissing my feet since she came in. You did not anoint my head with oil. That was, again, a common custom. You'd be out in the world, kind of sweaty. The right guard wasn't working that day. Your feet are dusty and dirty. I want to greet you with a kiss. And before we sit down for dinner, I'm going to put this nice sweet ointment on your head. And I'm going to refresh you with this ointment that's just going to kind of flow down. And we're all going to smell good. We're all going to enjoy things. We're not going to smell each other. We're going to smell the food. It's going to be good. It was common then to anoint the head. But he didn't do any of that. There was no water. There was no kiss. There was no ointment. There was just, all right, fella, come in. I got some questions for you. But this woman broke through. And she came with the water, with the kiss, and with the oil. He didn't do it because he was a religious dog. She did it because she was a dog who got elevated to the status of righteousness because of the goodness of Jesus toward her life. All right. You did not anoint my head. Verse 47, therefore I say to you, her sins, this freaked them right out. He said her sins are forgiven. Isn't that awesome? Her sins are forgiven. Who doesn't want to hear that? Who doesn't want to hear mercy? Everything I've ever done wrong, will do wrong, it's covered in the mercy of God. My sins are forgiven. Woo! Thank you for that. This woman, she's not ceased. Therefore, her sins are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is given, the same has little love. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table who began to say to themselves, who is he who forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Your faith has sozoed you. Your faith has saved, rescued, delivered, healed, restored, and secured you. Go in peace. Yum, yum. Yum, yum. You know, there's the genuine worship right there. Action, you come, you bring the water, you're serving, you're ministering. The honor, the kiss, thank you, thank you, thank you. I mean, people should be honored when they walk in your home, when they come and you invite them in, you honor them. And then there's that sacrifice where you pour out fragrant oil and you minister. I mean, that was something that was worth like a couple years' wages. And here's a couple years' wages saved up. I don't know how much you make. I make about 10 grand. So that'd be about 20 grand right there. I make a lot more than that. But can you imagine 2 years of your wages broken on somebody's feet? That's pretty extravagant. And she was willing to lose it all because she knew that he is the source of every good thing. I'm willing to lose everything on him. I mean, I'll push everything in. I'll go all in because I know that he is the source of every good thing. You serve what you worship. A couple more verses, we're going to pray. Exodus 34:14, you must worship no other gods, for the Lord, whose very name is jealous. He's jealous. I mean, he's nuts about you. He does not want to share you in any way. It says he's jealous. He's jealous about his relationship with you. For him, it's all about relationship. I really do love you. If I wanted servants, I got angels that serve me. If I wanted more servants, I'd have created servants. I created sons and daughters. There's nothing more precious. My daughter came in today and she walked into my office and she bent over, she leaned over, she kissed me, and I went, that is so awesome. I mean, she's 30 years old carrying my little granddaughter, Frankie Lynn. And she walked in and she leans over and she kisses me. That's way better than your amens, although your amens are appreciated. But there's nothing like that. And I'm sitting there, I feel that. And she walks out and they go, that was awesome. And you know what the father just said? I'm jealous for you. You know, it was last Thursday, I'm driving back home. Carly called me on my cell and she says, how'd your day go, Dad? How was it? really missed you last night when you weren't here. And I mean, I wasn't here for small groups because I was ministering up in Uxbridge. And she's like, I miss that you weren't here. Really missed you. And I'm like, he's jealous about his relationship with you. He loves you. He's looking for real, honest, sincere interactions with people who understand how incredibly wonderful their Father is and how glorious the freedom is that he's won for you. One more verse. One more verse. Ephesians 2, 4 to 5. But God is so rich in mercy. I mean, he loved us so much that even when we were dead in our sins, he gave us life when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It is by grace that you have been saved. You're to die for. You really are. And he died for you. He didn't die for you because he wants to set up a religious institution. He died for you because he wants family. He wants intimate worshipers. And there's nothing like coming to daddy's house and having a tailgate party and going, woohoo. It's good stuff. Come on, stand up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Can you all just kind of bow your heads, close your eyes just for a minute for me? You know, he's looking for worshipers. He's looking for people who worship in spirit and truth. And the first, most important thing of stepping into that relationship is to know that he loves you and he cares for you. He's removed every obstacle between you and him. You can have a relationship with God today. You just have to accept that he accepts you because he totally loves you. He's nuts about you. He's for you. He's looking down on you. That little pitter-patter in your heart right now, that's him saying, I'm jealous for you. I love you. You know, we're not asking you to join a church or join a religious club. I'm asking you to embrace your relationship with your Heavenly Father by just receiving that Jesus has given you the right to be a child of God. And if you want to say, hey, you know, I've never really done that. I've never really accepted that he accepts me. I've never really embraced that good news that Jesus loves me. And you want to do that today, I'm going to just count to three. I'm going to go 1, 2, 3. And if that's you and you want to pray with us right now, could you raise your hand and say, I want to accept Jesus, all right? I'm going to count to three all over. Listen now. 1, 2, 3. Just raise your hand right now. Raise it up really high. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Just raise up your hand really high. He accepts you. He just wants you to say, I accept that he accepts me. I accept that just like he spoke to that woman, he said, you're forgiven. Your faith, your confession right now, your hand raising up is saying, I receive forgiveness. I receive sozo. I receive healing. Anyone else right now, you still raise your hand, just put it up really high where I can see it. Thank you. Can we all pray? Everybody pray with me. You ready? Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, thank you for willingly dying for my sin. I thank you that because of what you did, I can be saved. I can experience restoration and fellowship with my Heavenly Father. So I ask you to come now. Forgive my sin. Enter into my life. Fill me with your Spirit. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. I got something to say to you right now. You put your hand up, prayed that prayer with me. Your sins are forgiven. They really are. What was necessary for your sins to be forgiven has always been done. But that you've embraced it now and you've accepted it, that gives you the right and privilege because you've received him. You're a child of God. And somebody might tap you on the shoulder or talk to you before you go. And that's because we want you to unpack the full understanding of the blessing you just entered into. But congratulations. You're a part of the family of God. God bless you. Can I get those who are, we got people who are set apart to minister at the altar every service. We have people who are prayed up and prepared and ready to minister to you. And they're here to minister today. There's, if you've got any need or anything going on, I don't want you to leave today without a sense that I connected with the Father, that the need that I had was met, that I came to His house and I experienced His favor and His blessing. So these folks are here and they're ready to pray for you. So if you need minister for anything, you need healing, you need a word from God, you need somebody to agree with you, to comfort you, to minister to you, they're here ready to pray for you, all right? I'm going to bless you. I'm going to pray like I did last week for the Blue Jays because it worked. And we're going to have a Wednesday night. Don't forget, Thursday, we've got small groups. Please, we got small groups. We got something for you. Please get involved. But next Sunday, we're going to go deep water diving. You're going to get so blessed. You really are. I'm so excited. I'm going to have a hard time keeping it in because, wow, your bell's going to get dumb in a big way. Just go ding dong. There you go. I'll tell you. Look forward to it. Get ready for it. It's nice to see a couple tailgaters next week before the service starts, too. I got any tailgaters here? Anybody? Maybe not tailgaters, but even a couple people show up a little earlier, have a coffee, wave at some friends. My wife's waving at me. Okay. Father, bless each and everyone. Thank you for your goodness, your kindness. Thank you for how much you love me. Thank you for all that you have done for me and you keep on doing and you'll never stop. Thank you, Father, for your great, great love. Jesus, thank you for your favor. I go out, I am wrapped in your goodness and your favor. People are predisposed to bless me. They don't even know why, because I am blessed with the grace of a loving Savior. Holy Spirit, thank you for your constant companionship. Thank you for your confidence in me. Thank you for your consistency. Thank you that you're always there. And now I send these folks out to minister your kingdom, to reveal your glory, to demonstrate your goodness. And we thank you for it now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Visitors, folks, family, all you folks have been here just for Tim and Jen and things. Thank you so much for being with us. Bless you. Have an awesome day. Oh, I forgot. God bless the Blue Jays. Amen. God bless.